Okay, good morning. Good to see everybody out. Joey's going to word prayer for us as we get started.
Our Father in heaven, we come to you now. Thank you this morning for all the blessings you've given us. Thank you for this rain that you sent our way. Thank you for our homes and our families. Thank you, most importantly, for your Son on the cross for our sins. And this opportunity we get to come together and study about him and his word and how that pertains to us and our marriages. I said, as we do this, we'll study it and practice these things in our lives. That's what you'll help us every day. Please be his mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay, so we are on lesson 3, page 27, and hopefully you've had an opportunity to look that over. And I just want to remind everybody, if you happen to miss a class, number one, or if you're in here and your spouse is not, these are all being recorded. And they are available on the website, so they're easy to download and be able to listen to them. If you're on the road for a little while, you'll be able to catch up, or if you think you missed something that you wanted to listen to again, you can go back and listen to it again. So thanks to Jason Hatman for getting all that set up for us in these classes back here, so everybody has the opportunity to hear that material and be able to keep up. Sometimes one way, 4-hour road trip. So it's nice to be able to have those kinds of resources available to check out. Joey, you take care of the count there. Thank you, sir. All right, so today's lesson is, it's the best kind of favoritism, putting your spouse before all others. So what does that mean? Putting your spouse before all others. The best kind of favoritism.
Do stuff together.
Okay? That means do stuff together. There's going to be a lot of right answers here. What else did it mean?
Make sacrifices.
Like what?
Maybe I want to go, do something that I enjoy, but she may not enjoy.
Yeah.
So I might need to make a sacrifice and not necessarily always do exactly what I want if we can do something together. She likes to go antiquing.
Yeah.
I hate that, but we're getting to be together, so.
Yeah. So you said I hate to go antiquing.
Yeah. I'm going to make a sacrifice, though.
And that's
I wouldn't say I hate
it. Right. Yeah, I think that was. I think kind of loses its impact there.
She doesn't write like that.
Yeah. So you're stalking about that job. So it just so yeah. Okay. What else does it mean? Kelly?
Make plans with them first.
Okay.
Don't just put your wife up it. So well, we can hang out from 7 to 7:30. That's all the time I have for you.
Yeah. I've got you on my schedule here, and it looks like you're going to get 30 minutes of my time. Lucky you. Right? Okay, what else? That's good. All this is great. Yes. Okay. You mean being engaged?
Yes.
With one another. Okay. I think that's a good point. Yeah, it's easy to be in the same room and you're doing one thing and he's doing one thing and she's doing one thing and you're together, but are you really engaged with one another? Yes.
You know, you have to prefer your spouse over absolutely everything. Too many times you see the marriages that don't work, it's because the guys still have their friends they wanted to hang out with, or she has her friends they want to hang out with, and that takes priority over top of the family time or over top of your time.
Okay. So, just as an example, tell me what you told me when you came in and you were erasing something off the board. Share that with everybody. I think it's good for everybody to hear.
Well, it's like Friday night, the going and visiting the widows. You know, whenever I got off work, we we've done this twice now. That day's put it together for us. I got off work a little bit late that day. We rushed around just to get here. And, you know, it's been like almost, when we're getting here, it's almost like we've got to go do this afternoon. But once we're done with it and visiting these widows, it did more good for me than probably it did for us to go visit the widow that day. It put me in a better frame of mind. I put somebody else first.
Right.
And, you know, at the same time, we took our kids along. It was like we always do. And our kids are getting to see, you know, let's make this afternoon about somebody else. You know, it doesn't always have to be about us.
Right. And so even if you two don't directly talk about that, the fact that you're making that time investment together and doing that thing and taking your kids with you, don't you think the kids see that as something that's important?
Well, it was funny when he called to say he was going to be late. He was like, everybody needs to be ready at 5. And so I said, okay, so I had was on my way home and the kids were there. And I said, called and Kate goes, what's going on? And I said, we're going to the widow visitation. He's like, hey, we got to be ready at 5 for the widows. I mean, it wasn't an argument or, it was like, he sounded excited, like, hey,
you
gotta be ready.
Yeah. Yeah, so these are some of the ways that preferring one another manifests itself. And, you know, is it always big things, or can it be little things, too? Ladies, can it be big? Does it have to be big things, or can it be little things?
Life is made up of little things.
That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, the whole day is a lot of little things, and sometimes there's some big things. Right? That's a good point.
The garden has been fun for us. We both pitch in, you know, we plant it, you know, it grows, we weed it, harvest the fruits and vegetables, and
yeah.
It's just the time to do stuff together. And it doesn't matter what it is, the keyword's stuff. And stuff is a huge, you know, category, and you know, it's just those little things, you know, watering the flowers together, feeding the dog at night, or, you know, we do that together because it's dark and I don't want her going out there by herself. This, those little things like that, you know, and it adds up.
Right, it does add up. So, you know, all of these things as it relates to, you know, relationships and what matters and what doesn't matter, and that's the other thing I want to talk about. Is, you know, what does relationship mean? What does it mean? I mean, I've got a definition up here, the way in which two or more concepts, objects, or people are connected, or the state of being connected. So, what does a good relationship look like? It looks like some of this, but what else does it look like?
Can't have one without the other.
What does that mean?
I mean, you can't have a good relationship if just one person's involved.
Okay.
Active.
Takes two.
Special bonding.
Who said that?
Special
Kevin.
Bonding.
Okay. Like what?
Well, like Ron was saying, you do things together, and that's where you bond.
Okay.
When two of you get together and work together, it doesn't have to be in the garden. It could be, like say, in your living room. You take that time. So.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Anybody get
positive? It's positive.
It's positive. Okay. Yeah, I mean, that you're trying to encourage, and the opposite is, you know, both are trying to encourage in that relationship, right? Yeah, you hit on something I was probably going to talk about later, but I'll go ahead and talk about it now. But, you know, how many times is it not?
A lot.
You know, get into the book of James. You know, go over to James real quick. You totally set me in a different direction. But I was going to talk about this later anyway, so we'll not worry about it. James, the third chapter, what's it say about the tongue?
Fire.
Yeah, it says, you know, it talk about the bits of horse's mouth, and they, in verse 3, that they may obey us and turn their whole body with shifts. And they're large and driven by fierce winds. They're turned by a very small rudder whenever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great force a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among its members that it defiles the whole body, sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. And so, and then it goes on to talk about you can't do all of these things, you know, for every beast and bird, reptile, creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude or the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So anyway, you know, it should be a blessing. It should be positive. It should be encouragement, reinforcement. And then sometimes it goes this other way, you know, where Dave, you just blah, 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 right?
Happens more often than I'd like to.
So, and then, what has that done to the relationship, and what has that done to preferring your spouse?
Take a step back.
And the other part of it is, does she believe it? I mean, does she really believe that you prefer when you talk to her like that? I mean, now let's just be honest. If there's not anybody in this room, I mean, I do a whole lot better today. I've greatly improved. But I'm telling you, I can remember times where I was ugly to her. Just outright ugly. I mean, I was ashamed of the way I acted. And you know, that's part of preferring your spouse means too. Is that respect that you have for them, because they are your person that you've chosen to have this one relationship with.
Well, you know, it's funny. You can replace that word relationship with partnership. And Emily and I are doing something right now where we had to sign some paperwork where it's an affidavit of a partnership. It was like, okay, we're not partners until we actually sign this piece of paper from the bank. But after going through that, it was like, yeah, I want to partner with you. I want my name to be physically, legally bound to you and that I am your partner in this. And, you know.
Because why?
Because I want to be.
Would you partner with her?
Because trust her. She's my
you trust friend. Her. Somebody said it. Who said it back there?
Trust.
Yeah, trust. And that's one of the most important things in this relationship and referring your spouse, because if I talk to her like a dog, then does she think I prefer her? Absolutely not. It doesn't matter what else comes out of my mouth. If I act that way, then do you think she really believes I prefer her? No. I mean, or take it the other way. I mean, ladies, if you talk that way to your husband, do you think he feels like you prefer him? Respect him, honor him. All these things that we've been talking about. And you know, the other thing, you know, Ryan's a good point, partnership. I mean, when we become one as husband and wife, we have formed the ultimate partnership. I mean, that's the one that is taken from the law that God put in place. That's the contract that we have signed with regard to a partnership that's for women. So death do us part. I mean, and so many people don't look at it that way today. They just don't. It's kind of a convenience thing. I mean, I heard with some other person in this room the other day, a woman say that she was going to advise her husband or her son to live with a girl before they got married just to make sure it would work. That's not a partnership. That's not a relationship. That's kicking the tires and saying, wonder how long this thing will last, or you know, am I gonna like it? Or
it's a lease agreement.
It's a lease agreement. Yeah, it's terrible. But that's the advice this mother that says she prays every day, and you know, her relationship with God is important. That's the advice she was going to give her son, who said he didn't want to do that. So when we think about favoritism toward one another, and the way that we develop those relationships, what, I mean, these are some of the things that we do, but how do we develop the relationship? What are the things that we do to develop relationship as Christians? You know, one of the things is prayer. You know, praying together. Well, what's the value of praying together as a husband and wife? What's the value of that? And I'll say this before I ask, get you to answer that question. I've sat down with people before that are married couples that have been married for some time that had never prayed together. Never prayed together. And if you fall into that today, don't tell me. I mean, don't tell me that you fall into it, but let me tell you, that's something you need to work on. Because what's the value of praying together as a husband and wife, as partners?
Well, first, I always make it a point to ask her if she has anything that she would like to pray for.
Okay.
Because you're opening it up. I care about you. I want to know what's going on in your life. You need to be a focus on something. And it's just one more way to grow closer together.
There's more intimacy that is involved in the two of you praying together to find out something that needs to be prayed about. What else? Why is that a good thing to do?
It's incorporating the two most important relationships that you have.
Okay.
With God, with your spouse.
Okay. Incorporates the two most important relationships that you've got.
Also, it says when two are in agreement, there's great power in that.
Okay. That's great. There is great. That is helpful. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And if a husband and wife are praying that way together, and that's the other thing I want to mention. The scriptures that we will talk about today, you know, some of them are related specifically to spouses, husbands and wives. But then a lot of them are related to Christians. You know, so Christians, and it's not a specific scripture to husband and wife, but it's a scripture related to a Christian. So how important, I mean, we're all Christians. I mean, if we're Christians and we're working to encourage one another, then in that one relationship that's the most important relationship we have apart from our relationship with God, and it says some of the things that we'll read about later today, if we're supposed to treat other people that way, surely we would want to treat our spouse that way, right? Any other comments? Prayers, you know, studying together, having conversations about spiritual things. Things that, you know, whether it's a problem that somebody's experiencing, whether it's something that's a good thing that somebody's experiencing, or whatever it is, making time for the things that are important, like Kelly said. So that we're investing time in being closer connected on the things that really matter. Anything else on that thought? So, what matters most to you in your relationship with your spouse? Give that some thought this minute. What?
God.
Okay. Well, and we talked about that from the very beginning. If God's number one, that makes everything, that sets the foundation for how everything's going to be from that point forward. And with God being that foundation that Kevin's talking about, what are the other things that are personal to you that are really important, that you want to make sure that your spouse knows about? And guys and gals both answer this.
That I'm her protector.
That you're going to take care of her. Okay? What else? Ladies? What are y'all looking for? Protection, leadership, what else?
I think both need love.
Okay.
Trust.
Trust, Matt.
If Melissa was here, she would say security. And not the way I think of security. I think, well, I bought you a gun.
I carry
a gun all the time. You're secure. But that's not what she means. She means emotional security.
Okay.
Safe space.
Okay. Listen, don't judge.
Or always try to fix it.
Yeah, we're bad about that. Sorry.
You that way?
No.
Okay, good.
Sometimes he doesn't fix enough.
Well, pick it up. Okay. What else?
Constructive criticism.
Constructive criticism. Feedback. Constructive feedback. That's criticism clothed in feedback. So, a long time ago, and I've always liked to feel like that's a really important thing, too, constructive. So you got to be able to say it in a way that it's constructive, but you've also got to be able to hear it in a way that you know the person that's given that to you, you can believe them because you trust them.
It's that sanctuary / safe space that has to be there so that there's open dialogue without fear.
Okay. Open dialogue without fear. And how do you get to that place?
Deference to each other's, yielding to each other's wills and just opening up. And
okay.
Friendship is very important.
Friendship, okay. Okay, so all this is great. I mean, this is awesome stuff. So the other thing I would ask you to ask yourselves is, what do you both do to really make that relationship work well? What are the things that y'all do to make things work well? What are you aware of that you know both y'all work at really hard and you can tell the difference that it makes?
Communication.
From 30 years of marriage on the back row, communication. It's probably one of the top five, right?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's just absolutely right there at the top.
Gratitude and appreciation for what they do.
Okay, I like that. That's awesome. What else?
Know your role. I mean, we each know what our place is, what our roles are, and we execute them to the best of our abilities.
Okay.
And I guess being okay with that.
That comes with this one up here too. Communication, and it's also this gratitude and appreciation. It's all works hand in hand.
On that note, I pray that I do better at filling my role.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Those are all really good. And you know, here's the thing that you can do sometimes too. This kind of goes back to the constructive criticism piece. Just sit down sometime across the table after you've eaten dinner, or when the kids are gone to bed or whatever, and sit there and look at each other and say, and look her in the eye, guys or gals, and say, how am I doing? How am I doing? Am I being the kind of man to you that I need to be, that God wants me to be to you?
Yeah, usually we ask that when we know we're doing better.
You need to be ready for the answer when that comes back at you. Because you don't ask that question unless you're really, really willing to hear and react to what it is.
Constructive? Listen. So, but then it goes back to communication. Right.
So, some of the book points out that to me it was what you're talking about, it's good for us to keep in mind is that the
the marriage is an organism, is the way the book points out. You have to continually feed it, nurture it, give it nutrients, work on it. That attitude of wanting to do better, you know, all those things are they're precursors to the attitude that you have to implement all these things.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else? Those are all great, by the way. And then what's your greatest opportunity to make relationships stronger? If you're really being honest with yourself, if you're really being honest, and you go look in the mirror and you see yourself for exactly the way you are, what can you do to make it better?
Gotta make time.
Put the other one first.
Okay. Other one first. What do you mean? Time?
Well, life is so busy, and unless we put things first, it just doesn't happen.
Okay. It's got to be a priority. Your relationship's got to be a priority.
You have to be really honest with yourself.
Yeah. Self-honesty. Why is that so hard?
Most of the time we don't do that.
Because what?
Most of the time we don't. We're not honest with ourselves.
Why not?
Oh, do I like ourselves too much?
What?
I said we like ourselves too much.
We like ourselves too much.
Our problem is the greatest person we know most of the time is staring at back us in the mirror.
Right.
Honestly, that's probably the furthest from the truth.
So let me ask you a question. Does anybody in this room think there's not anybody else in this room? Well, don't raise your hands. Is there anybody in this room that has any problems? Don't raise your hands. Whatever it might be. Okay? And now, do you think you're the only one? Because if you think you are, you're fooling yourself. We've all got little stuff or, you know, varying degrees of stuff that's going on about how willing I am to be honest with myself about who I am and what I am. Or something that impacts somebody else, my spouse. And how do you deal with all of that? How does all that work? If you got a problem, how does it get fixed?
Trying.
Repetitive.
Boom, 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 boom. That right there. That right there. And do we do good for a little while, and then we don't do good? Sharon's what? Yeah. Yeah, she's back there. Yeah.
That's
I get that. Amen.
That's why.
It is. So what do? After you stuff your toe, you quit? No, you just keep on going. You just keep on going. But you've got to be committed. But I like what Brittany said, the self-honesty piece. Because and you know what gets in the way of self-honesty? Sound the alarm.
That was a trumpet.
Huh?
No.
What?
That was not an alarm, that was a trumpet.
Okay, the trumpet then. That's right, that's it right there, folks. Pride. And it rears its ugly head in every instance where there's any kind of problem. It just seems like every time. So we've got to be aware of that. We've got to think about it. God wants our relationships to be the way He designed them. It doesn't mean we're not going to have problems. It doesn't mean that life's not tough sometimes. But we've all got to work at our relationships to make them more better. How does the church continue to be strong? Does that just happen on its own? Now I think about the parallel there. How many churches do we have that have the name Church of Christ on it today that have gotten kind of gone, you know what I mean? From a religious standpoint, how does any body of believers determine what they're going to do and what they're not going to do?
Leadership.
Yeah. Through God's word.
Yeah, but it's executed from the leadership level.
True.
Yeah.
True, but it's God's word ultimately. And that's the same thing that we're using in our relationships to say we got to make it what it needs to be. And again, these are some of those scriptures I was talking about where they don't necessarily, it's not specifically talking about husband-wife relationships, but it's talking about in letters that have been written to encourage churches in Romans 1, 16. It says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God's salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So we can't be ashamed of the truth, and we can't not let that be important to us in our lives. If we want to have oneness with our spouse, we've got to let that be reflected in what we stand for and what's important to us. We've got to remember what it says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do we really believe that? Because if we don't really believe that, then all of this doesn't mean anything. And if we really do believe that, and this isn't happening, then we're not where we need to be. We're not here in our minds and our hearts where we need to be. We're so focused on ourselves that we're not thinking about the relationship, we're not thinking about Christ and what He would expect of us. In Romans 8:12, it's really in every problem that we have in the church or in our relationships, it's about the flesh instead of the spirit. Y'all agree with that? One way or another, it's about the flesh instead of the spirit. It just is. Every time. Romans 12, or excuse me, 8, 12 through 18. Says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, then you're going to live. So that to me tells me what I've got to make important in my life as a Christian, as a husband to my wife, as a father to my children, even though they're both out on their own, the example that I've still got to try and be as long as I am breathing. And that's the kind of commitment that we've got to make and believe and do the best we can to live our lives. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but if the Spirit, you will put to death the deeds of the body, and you're going to live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and have children and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. All this doesn't matter. But while we're here, and while I've made a commitment to her, and she's made a commitment to me, and y'all have done the same, we've all got a responsibility to one another to try and help each other get to heaven, to try and be the best Christian that God would have us to be in our lives every day. Comments?
The triangle might be better served if you went, which it's one of the same, I get it, but if you went God slash heaven.
Okay.
Because if you're constantly working towards heaven, you're constantly thinking about that reward. You're also keeping in the back of your mind, this entire life is a marathon. You stub your toe, you got to keep going. I mean, it's
right. So why is it hard? Why is it so hard for us? Because of everything we've just been talking about, right?
The flesh gets in the way.
It is the flesh, the flesh, the flesh. Every single time. And is it the same thing for every person? No. It's something different for everybody. But we got to understand it, recognize it, and again, like Brittany said, self-honesty. And we got to come to terms with that. If I got a problem with something, and it's interfering in my relationship of getting to heaven or God with my spouse, I need to fix it. And if I think I can fix it on my own, I'm sadly mistaken. Does everybody agree with that? You can't. It's not possible. They'll work that way. That's why Christ died in the first place, so that we could have salvation for eternity, but so that he could help us through this life based on what he saw and was exposed to while he was here. What he's trying to teach everybody. Anything else about that?
There's not many times when you break something that you can actually fix it. Not, you know, when your car breaks, most of the time you take it to somebody to be fixed, or you know, something breaks, or if your computer crashes, you're the one who tore it up, but you can't fix it. And so when we try to fix problems that we've created, sometimes we just make them worse.
I think the key is going to God, and then he'll give us the resources we need to be able to fix that problem. But that's where we got to get out of our own way. And I've said that a lot here lately. I say it to myself. I say it to other people too. Get out of God's way and he'll help you. But so many times we get in his way of really being able to do what he can for us if we let him. But we always want to just put, we want to keep trying to do it ourselves. We can. So, what about the example in the book? Jacob, Rachel, Leah, and Laban. What a mess that was, right? What was the deal there? What? So Jacob's going to work for 7 years for Rachel, right? And so 7 years is, I mean, it's like on the eve of 7 years or whatever, what happens?
He gets Leah.
Huh?
He gets
Leah. Yeah, and who did that?
Laban.
I mean, he's like, boom. So I got my other daughter married off here now that didn't have any prospects, and now I got him committed. So now what's going to happen? Okay, if you want to, okay, you can have Rachel too, work another 7 years, and then kids, and then. So you know what? What do you think is the purpose of this story in the book? What was the book talking about with regard to the things that we need to think about in that story from the Bible?
Don't be that kind of father.
For sure. What else? Matthew?
Leah was his first wife, but he did not show her preference and love, and it created such long slew of problems.
Yeah. What else? The book does a really good at describing it. Page 29 in the book, it's like the second full paragraph down. Get your book, turn over to page 29 there. The point is not that bigamists should avoid favoritism. The point is it's impossible to be one flesh with more than one person. It's God's design that a single man form a bond with a single woman that will be superior to and take precedence over any other earthly relationship. There can be only one favorite. And when we try to spread the favorite label around, we wind up hurting the one we're supposed to love the most. And we probably wind up hurting everyone else involved as well. Choosing one person to marry above all others means far more than limiting one's sexual activity. It means welcoming a particular individual into the very core of one's being. Secrets are laid bare, weaknesses are exposed, not for the purpose of emotional blackmail or one-upmanship, but to facilitate growth. A connection is created that is unparalleled and unchallenged by any other relationship, existing or future. When we were dating, my past wasn't great. So when I saw where it was going, I laid it all out there. And I said, you know, if you don't want to be around this, now's the time to leave, because you need to know the whole story. That wasn't any fun. But I did it because it was what I should do. But then very quickly, after that, a lot of changes happened. You know, because of who I was already on the path to be that person that I needed to be. It sounds like the bells are on time this morning. It's 5 minutes prior to. And we didn't used to have a 5 minute prior to bell, did we? It's still not fixed. But anyway, so total honesty with one another is really, really important in those relationships. And one flesh, I mean, the one flesh is really what it starts out with in Genesis 2:22 through 24. We've read that. And the way that we treat our wives and being preferred and husbands being preferred, Proverbs 19:14, Proverbs 12:4, our actions of how we invest our own time should reflect our one flesh commitment to one another. The book talks about, you know, if you spend more time with your buddies than you spend with your wife doing the things you want to do, kind of like what you talked about, Dave, when we started out, then are you really preferring your wife, you know? And Dave talked about doing things that he's not necessarily, it wouldn't be, you know, out of his top 10 list. It's probably not at the top of the list, but he wants to spend time with Casey, so he does that thing. Because he wants to spend time with her. Because it's important to her. He's not just so self-absorbed that he can't do something with her, even though it's not his priority thing to do, but he wants to be with her. And that's preferring her. That's showing her that you care. Our actions are how we invest our own time. And I said that. One flesh means more than sexual intimacy. One flesh also means of one mind, body, soul, and spirit. Matthew 19:4-6. So, you know, yeah, intimacy is part of the deal. And that's emotional intimacy. That's sexual intimacy. That is. But let me ask you this. If you don't... It's still not time. I'm going to go find that thing after this class and yank it out of the wall. But if you don't have, yeah, thank you. If you don't have this right here going on, then here's the question. How are you going to be able to be of one flesh? And what woman wants to be intimate sexually with a man that she doesn't feel like he prefers her, he respects her, he's building a relationship or a partnership with her? Nobody has to answer that because I already know the answer. And really, that should be one of the most cherished parts of our relationship. I mean, every part of a relationship should be cherished, but to be able to be, you can't be that close with anybody but one person. And that's the person that you are a part of. Right? That's the oneness that God talks about. And we talked about some of this. If you were prefer to do this instead of that, you know, you kind of put yourself in a problem. All the kids are being let out and no jobs. You need to go get them. So just be ready for class 3A on Wednesday night. Thanks for your feedback. Appreciate it. You need something else to carry. Can you get my backpack here? Hey,
thanks.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So a tangent that I've
been
Yeah, that's a good success. Well, I would say talk back and go get the bag out.